First reading for this Reformation Sunday is from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, beginning at the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, irrespective of law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered Him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, the big day has arrived, finally. Reformation Sunday, the 500th anniversary edition. What does this mean? 500 years ago, actually, on Halloween, All Hallows Eve, is when Luther presented the 95 Theses for discussion. And it began something he could have never anticipated. Unleashed the spirit that was at work, that the timing and everything. But what does this Reformation mean for us? And what does this mean for the world that God so loves? Today we put on red, the color of the Holy Spirit, and we pull out the stops, special music, lots of enthusiastic congregational singing, for congregational song is an important part of the evangelical Lutheran heritage. And we also celebrate the rite of confirmation. Yet at the core, at the center, at the heart of what we do today is a particular word. Jesus Christ is in our midst, loving us to death, forgiving us with no strings attached. Christ Jesus holding on to us for dear life, for the sake of God's mission in the world, making us into the body of Christ, the church. This Jesus comes to us through the spoken word, through the sacraments of baptism, water, and the promises of God, you are mine forever. Through the sacrament of Holy Communion, bits of bread and little drops of wine, this is given and shed for you. At the center today is this Jesus who meets us on our journey and then calls us to follow him. And when we follow Jesus on a journey of faith, you see, we're surprised. We're going to be taking some detours to rub shoulders with the lost and the least and the anxious and the fearful. Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. These words should startle us as much as they startled the people that Jesus first spoke them to. When they say, we're descendants of Abraham, we've never been the slaves of anyone. What do you mean by saying we will be made free? I don't think these people were suffering from amnesia. They recounted God's saving acts in their worship of God, God delivering them from Egypt, bringing them to the promised land. That was their confession. There's more going on here. They were caught up in their peoplehood. They came to trust their own dreams and schemes, their own little group, more than the liberating promises of God. Are we any different? The great majority, I realize there are some exceptions, but the great majority of people living in the United States today in 2017 have never been slaves to anyone. We are free people. We are guaranteed by our Constitution and our founding documents. We have a Statue of Liberty, and we believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, free to do what we want, free to believe what we want or not believe, free to trust what we choose. You will be free? What kind of double talk is that? Yet are we really free? Do you know the truth? What is the truth? That was the question that Pilate asked when they were alone together in Pilate's headquarters, Jesus on trial. He looks at Jesus, he stares the truth in the face, and he says, "What is truth?" We're living in a time when we don't seem to all agree on the facts. Am I right? Or wrong? I don't know. But fake news, we've heard about it, right? It's a buzzword. There's no agreement on a commonly held truth. Such is our reality. We live in this situation. And I've noticed that as a result of not having a common understanding of truth, there is great anxiety and fear, and the result is prejudice and reaction, and we lash out at others that don't believe like we do, and we retreat further into our own camps, trusting more and more in our ability to be right, trusting in that more than believing that we could actually learn something from those who believe other things. Jesus says, "You will know the truth if you continue in my word, and that truth will set you free." These are well-known words. I wonder how many people realize that Jesus said them or in what context. These words, "You will know the truth and truth will set you free," they're written on the walls of great educational buildings, colleges and universities, and now about 50% of Americans don't trust those institutions. I've seen them on the walls of courtrooms, and in fact these walls are chiseled into the headquarters of the CIA. Various Christian groups have used this as kind of a role of, "We believe in what we teach, and you'll be free, and if you don't believe that, well, too bad for you." Left to our own devices, as Bishop Eaton says, human beings are toast. You and I try to convince ourselves that we got things pretty well figured out, and we put on happy faces and tell others that we're doing just fine, we've got it together, thank you very much. Left to our own devices, we strive for more and more toys to make us happy, or we reach for more pills or more drinks. We aren't slaves, we protest, we are free. And then we carry something around for us about this size that we used to just use for making telephone calls. Freedom? Right. And in the midst of our protests come a pink slip at work, or some bad news from our doctor, or an unexpected end to a relationship, and it says if someone hits us in the gut, we have it all together until there's a fire or a hurricane brings disaster. We have it all together until a man who has gathered far too many weapons starts spraying countless rounds of bullets into a crowd of people coming together to enjoy a country western concert. And that reality hits us and stops us in our tracks, and it's happened over and over again this year. Truth be told, we're not feeling so free anymore. In fact, when we're honest with ourselves, we discover that we're lost. We need some kind of system, a GPS, to get us on the right path. And our hearts ache for someone that will come and get us and find us, who will love us and bring us home. A story hit my heart this week. Maybe you saw it too. It was the story about these two women who were lost at sea for about 5 months. When Jennifer Appiah and Tasha Fiabia left Hawaii at the beginning of May, they thought they were sailing for about 17 days to Tahiti, and then would be, after resting there, continuing on a longer voyage. Plans changed when their only engine, went down in a storm, damaged their sailing vessel, leaving them way off course, lost at sea with their two dogs. Jennifer talked about taking these two dogs below when the sharks were circling their boat. She said these sharks were very smart. They could communicate with each other, and they could smell these dogs, and we could hear them bark. And you can just imagine laying on top of your dogs and trying to make them quiet. And there they were. Amazing story. They lived off of oatmeal and pasta and fortunately had something to desalinate their water. Someone said, glad that they liked oatmeal. They tried to signal for help over and over again, but no one came. And they felt finally like giving up. Each day they thought would be their last until one of them was looking on the horizon. They saw what they thought could be. It was a ship, and it got bigger and bigger, and it was a Navy vessel to finally save them. And the woman said, we never felt like this before, this feeling of hope and joy in our hearts. Never felt this new life coming as I saw the ones coming to rescue us. They saved us. They found us. As I watched that interview, I got to thinking about you and me. Like those two women, we, God's people, we're on a journey together. Through thick and thin of this journey, we're stuck with one another. This place is called the Nave. The word Navy comes from it. It's a ship. It's a ship of faith. And I don't know if anybody's brought their dog, but, you know, we have each other. And it often happens as individuals and as a church and as congregations, we start out and we've got great plans for our journey and we've got it all mapped out and we have good intentions and we're very confident about what we can do, but stuff happens and we're out there and we're lost and the sharks are all around us and they're circling. And if I asked you all to name one or two sharks that are circling your boat these days, I bet you could do that. Truth be told, we can't save ourselves. Finally, we've done all we can, all that's humanly possible for us to do. And we pray and we pray and we try our best to trust and hope. But it's too hard. And sometimes we can't even pray, so we cry out and we say, God, where are you? Why did you abandon me? Why did you give up? And then it happens. As we look out in our despair and our hopelessness and look out on the horizon, we see the rescuer is on its way. When all hope is lost, help comes, someone comes to meet us. In the depths of our hopelessness, someone comes and saves us. You ask who this may be. The one who comes born into our world as a tiny, helpless baby born into poverty. Parents who are refugees. This great Almighty God playing on Mary's lap and cuddled by Joseph. This Jesus comes to be with us and to save us. The one who just can't give up on us, who is for us and not against us all the way to the cross and back. At the heart of the matter today is God's grace in Christ Jesus. God loves us to death, and this God doesn't just love us when we're good and all washed up. You know how much easier it is to love your kids, your grandchildren, or kids in general when they're behaving? Much easier. Or when they don't have dirty hands and bringing mud into the house. But God loves us just as we are because we belong to God. And that's this heart of God, especially when we're lost. God has a heart for the lost. God's heart aches with this longing to find us and searches for the lost and the least and those that everyone else says, don't bother with those kind of people. God's heart breaks wide open for the lost and the least, and God will stop at nothing to find us and get us and bring us back home because God has a home for us, a place for us. God abides with us, a place of love that lasts forever and ever. At the end of her interview about the USS Ashland, which had come to save the two women, Tasha said this. When they asked her, what are you going to do now? And most people say, go to Disneyland. And she said this, we're looking forward to another adventure back at sea. Wow. I'd be heading back to land. After all that time of being lost at sea, looking forward to another adventure back at sea, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Isn't that the way with you and me? And together as a people of God, the church saved by grace, dripping wet with God's promises of love, we are now free to live for the sake of our neighbor. That's what this new adventure means, the adventure of our journey of faith together. What does it mean? If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Rescued, saved, restored. What does the Reformation mean? To continue to be reformed by God. Be still and know that I am God, that God is God and not us. That's good news. To open our eyes and see what God is doing in our midst, this God who makes this everlasting covenant with us, and it's written on our hearts. What does this mean to be reformed, each and every one of us, sinners who are called saints by God? And the good news is it doesn't just happen once a year or once every 500 years. It happens each and every day, a continued reformation. God will never stop coming to us, meeting us in the darkest places to love us and hold us, hold on to us for dear life. For the sake of Jesus Christ, this is most certainly true. Today we will stand and be with these young men as they will answer the question, do you intend to continue in this covenant that God made with you in holy baptism? And then they'll list some things. As we're saying that to these young men, you should be looking at that too. Will you continue in this faith, this covenant that God made with you, a continued reformation? In their faith statements, I'm going to share, they share some amazing stories and reflections. I'll read a few of their words. Kyle said, faith means to me that Jesus Christ is with me because I believe in Jesus and God and I can feel God's presence. I've grown with God by learning all the things I've learned and how He has come to me. I plan to grow with God and have faith in Him by going to church more and learning more. He wrote of looking out for His friends and making them laugh when they're down. How good it feels when people rely on Him and how much He loves helping others. It's when He's at His best. Kyle spoke about loving and helping people and loving and giving of himself. Liam shared that his Nana homeschooled him for a long time and money was tight. And she and he would go to thrift stores to get what they needed. And he'd always find exactly what he needed, like shoes or a coat or something better. He said, my Nana always told me that she's never seen someone as gifted by God as I am. And he said, I know I'm going to go through tough times, but I know that it's going to be okay. Regarding camp, he said, I love the labyrinth. It's my favorite thing. It made sense. Sometimes I felt closer or further away from God. But eventually I was in the center with God. My faith makes me want to help my dad. I want to help the church more, and I want to go help up a camp. And next shared that faith means believing in something bigger than I am, he said. There is a God, and He provides us with everything. In soccer, if I'm hurt, I ask God to give me strength to persevere, and I get a fast recovery. God has given our family some new perspectives and new opportunities. My view of God has changed. I used to think God was just someone who created everything, but now I see Him as a father and a friend. Someone you can trust all the time. A continued reformation. My friends, the truth is, we are all on this journey of faith together. And by the grace of God, you and I will continue to live into the promises of Jesus, living in hope and joy. The joy of one who knows that, yes, the Rescuer has come for the likes of you and the likes of me. We have now some special words, Bible verses to share with our young men, and then I'll read a quote from Luther before we sing our hymn.
This is a wonderful day of celebration of you, all you've learned, and this new commitment of faith that you are making publicly today. And so as we had in our time together last week, I'll read now the Bible verses specially chosen for you. So Nick, as you continue to strive and reach forward to all things that are good, taking on new challenges, etc., God is with you. And Jesus said to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is your confirmation passage. Kyle, the Lord says to all of his people, today the Lord says this to you. The Lord appeared to him from far away and said to him, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. This is your confirmation passage. And Liam, you get two. One that I chose after prayerfully thinking about what I felt was would nurture and sustain you, and one that your mother chose. So from John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. And from Isaiah 12, surely God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Your confirmation passages.
We close with a prayer from Martin.
God help us as God has helped our ancestors and will also help our descendants, the praise and honor of God's divine name throughout each other. For we are